This is the Tribune Audio Network.
This is the Backstory Podcast. I'm Larry Potash. On this show, we uncover the backstory behind some of the most intriguing tales in history, culture, science, and religion. The art of sound effects reminds me of the old radio shows. It seems antiquated, but they are still used in TV and movies today. It's an essential part of movie magic. And we found a young man who does this work the old-fashioned way. He does it so well, he talked his way into a role in a blockbuster movie. There's nothing wrong with silence. But silence in film, even a silent film, can seem bizarre.
Watching a silent film and seeing a car crash and not hearing anything is an unnatural thing for your brain.
We may not think much about audio when we're watching a movie, but there are three parts.
What'd I do? You killed the car.
Dialogue. Music. And sound effects. With sound effects, you can manipulate reality. You can make a dog sound like a lion. In the days of silent movies, sound effects were even more important to bring the moving images to life.
I have a machine that's a wooden box with a crank. It makes the sound of an automobile. Okay, this is a baby cry.
One man's sound effects collection proves valuable when he gets an email from Hollywood about a project that he doesn't think much of at the time.
And when I looked it up, I saw Martin Scorsese, Leonardo DiCaprio, and Robert De Niro, and that was an email I should have responded to right away.
Nick White has a collection of percussion instruments that fill many corners of his cozy home. He's a classically trained musician. While working at an instrument repair shop, he encounters a trunk full of old sound effect gadgets. That begins his collection.
It appealed to me that they were obsolete, antique, no longer used. Everyone likes a history story that they didn't know about.
It turns out percussion is good training for special effects.
I just love how colorful and diverse it is.
At the turn of the century, a percussionist might play sound effects at a circus, or for a commercial jingle at a radio station, or a moving picture house. Different theaters have different philosophies about sound, but it soon becomes clear silence is a bit awkward.
Your brain is expecting a sound, especially when there's a big sound. You're almost gearing up for it. And then when you watch a silent film and there's nothing, it's a huge letdown, and they knew that. And they were inventing different machines, different instruments, and different people to play them to make up for what was not there. This is a steamboat whistle. Cuckoo whistle. This is supposed to be a cow. The fact that something so silly was manufactured in earnest, you've got one that's for a sheep, makes me think that maybe it wasn't as silly back then. Chicken, horse.
The art form evolves when talkies arrive in the late 1920s.
And it's a dog bark. Good enough, right?
Yeah.
Pioneer in sound effects for modern movies is Jack Foley.
For example, Jack Foley first took a set of keys and recorded it, and when you blow up that sound, it can sound like a legion of Roman army and all their armor going through.
Foley Foley creates the first Tarzan scream in the 1929 series Tarzan the Tiger. That's Foley's voice. After Showboat, his career takes off, and the sound effects he helps create become known as Foley effects.
I don't think people realize that the sounds that they hear in the movie are not the sounds being made by the things they're seeing in the movie.
When we watch a modern film, we're hearing the footsteps and the running around and the car noises, and those can be things that they recorded on that day, or those can be something that was added later because the recording quality was not good enough. But either way, the viewer, their brain is just expecting reality.
Killers of the Flower Moon is a movie that requires modern sound effects and vintage sound effects for a scene in the movie that depicts an old radio show. Martin Scorsese's team contacts Nick to rent his instruments.
I bravely told them that who best to perform these instruments than me? Why don't you cast me as a person wielding these instruments in the scene?
But according to relatives, he often visited them.
In the movie, we're demonstrating how one of the characters went to jail. And so I make this sound, and the other person slams the jail door shut. So I start with...
The ringleader of the deadly plots was found guilty and sent to Leavenworth for life. He would write letters back home to his...
We were rehearsing, and I had chains on my hand, and I was stomping through the gravel, and I was supposed to sound like a prisoner in chains, and Scorsese screams at me, "Shake those chains, Nick!"
I never had better friends in my life.
And I can see on screen when I'm looking a little nervous, but I was technically sound effects man number one.
Not everybody was happy.
They used a lot of it. It wasn't cut out.
Her obituary in the local paper said simply,
"It's really accurate to the old radio days."
Kelsey Morrison said at his trial,
"Byron got her drunk, and I did the rest."
Byron.
I like history from over 100 years ago. I think that I'm finding more and more that people of the younger generation like things that are even beyond their own memory. And I think the biggest whistle I have is an ocean liner. This is really just a box with a drum head on it, but it's supposed to be a lion's roar.
Oh yeah.
I think what I like about live entertainment from the turn of the century is that it was the center of everyone's attention, was in demand and needed and relevant. I'm always trying to add a human element to something. It brings it more to life.
Thanks for listening to Backstory. If you liked what you heard, please take a minute to subscribe to our podcast or leave a review. To watch our full coverage of this story and see some that didn't make it to the podcast, visit us online at wgntv.com/backstory.
This has been a production of the Tribune Audio Network.